Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Watley. We want to thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday morning. If this is the first time you've heard our show, let me tell you just a little bit about us. This is a ministry, really, of our Sportsman of Colorado show that we do on KLZ 560 every Saturday from 1 to 2. And if you're a Crawford Broadcasting fan and you switch the dial a few times, you'll hear us on Haystack Help Radio as well, weekdays from noon to 1. And over the last several months, and I mentioned this just the first few shows, and so we certainly won't have to do this every show, but I just want to tell you a little bit of how our show came about. And it was really where I just got to looking at my life and figuring out, you know, what I was doing. 57 years old, and with our Haystack, you know, we help people, and that's always a great feeling to be of help and do things. But I really got to looking at, you know, what am I doing that's going to mean something for eternity? What am I doing that will help somebody in their life from now on? And so to spin off, so to speak, of our Sportsman of Colorado show, we came up with the show Hunting the Way. And this covers a lot of different areas in our life, hunting the way through. Maybe you've suffered a divorce, went through a divorce. You're hunting the way through life there. Maybe raising kids. Maybe you've dealt with tragedy, which that's going to be our subject today on today's show. But a lot of different areas we're going to take off through this. And from time to time, we have guests on with maybe different pastors, evangelist friends of mine that I know. And then also just everyday real life people. So it's a great privilege for me to have on today my boss, Mr. Mike Treem. Mike, how are you, sir?
Hey, Scott. Good to join you.
Thank you so much. And, you know, first of all, you know, I really have never been around such a great organization as Crawford Broadcasting over the few years of just where, you know, needless to say, you can't in this day and time go out and recruit Christian broadcasters or Christian radio people. You can't bring that up in a lot of interviews. But it seems like such a great team of people have just found their way here. And it's really given us a great cohesiveness with all of our shows, personalities. And while everyone may not believe every little thing that everybody believes, you know what, there's a good group of people here.
There really is.
That's one thing that I've loved about being here for the few years. And, you know, it all starts with leadership, and you've been here a number of years. So I want to get into a story today that most of you may have to go back and remember a little bit, but it happened about 4 years ago. And I can remember clearly that day, as I'm sure Mike can. And I was in a studio and came out after doing the show and heard the news. And Mike had gotten a call where his daughter, Laura, had been struck by a light rail bus train downtown. And so as I was thinking about today's show and what people are maybe, someone may be hunting their way through, maybe it is dealing with tragedy. So, you know, how do Christians deal with that? How do just people deal with that? And I think a lot of times when it hits us, you know, there's confusion, there's shock, despair, disbelief, and if we have to be honest, at some point, anger.
Yeah, sure.
So, Mike, let's go back to that day. And, you know, certainly not trying to make you relive it, but I think your story has a lot of great points to it that maybe can help someone today. So let's go back to that day and that phone call.
Sure.
And let's live that again.
Well, you know, I think about it sometimes, Scott, and it was kind of towards the end of the workday. In fact, I could have easily been on my way home, but I think it was about 5:30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife called and said, hey, somebody, Laura's been in an accident. Laura's my daughter who, at the time was our daughter who was 22, I think, right in that age range, 21 or 22. And so she said, she's been in an accident. You need to call this lady at Denver Health. And so I thought, oh, this is not good when you're calling somebody there.
Yes.
And it's not your family member. So I call, and it's a social worker. And, you know, I don't know what I'm going to hear. I think, you know, it could be anywhere from, you know, I'm sorry, but your daughter's passed away, all the way to, you know, in this case, she said she's in critical condition. She was in an accident with the light rail train, which you hear that stuff, you know, it's, you know, light rail train.
Absolutely.
Not many people survived that. So it was shocking, but I knew immediately that it was very grave. The lady did tell me that she was in critical condition, but she threw in stable, and I guess that's to make me feel a little bit better that there is some level of stability. But so I got in the car, you know, and made that drive, and boy, that's a weird feeling when you're headed that direction. You can't get there quick enough. And on Spear Boulevard at 5:30 in the afternoon, nothing moves very quick.
Right.
So I got there as quick as I could, parked, paid for parking, just all the, you know, the pain, the next stuff you have to do. But I had to do that because I didn't know how long I was going to be there. That at that point, I'm thinking it's days if, you know,
right, sure.
But who knows what's going to happen. And went into the emergency room and they started to tell me what was going on. So
you're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest, Mike Treem. Mike is our station manager here for 670 KLTT, and certainly have become friends over the years, as well as him directing us day by day. But as I mentioned, I wanted to get him on to talk about this story because this was something extremely, needless to say, very personal. It was his daughter. And, you know, if I made a few notes from looking at just some news articles as I was preparing for this, Mike, you know, 13 days in a coma.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She had two different brain surgeries, stroke, pneumonia, a lot of things going on.
About 25 things, Scott, honestly.
Yeah.
Her brain had swollen to the point where they had to take portions of her skull out. Mm-hmm. And I know that's pretty graphic,
sure.
But that's just the bottom line. She had such significant damage to her brain, her spine, just a whole number of things. Really, you know, I my son reminded me the other day that I told him, hey, she may not live through the night. So that was just the reality.
Sure.
And some of those surgeries happened even that first day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of the emotions. I mentioned a little earlier, confusion, shock, despair, disbelief, anger. All of those probably hit at some point. And then just the big
right.
question, why?
Right. You know, it's interesting because I didn't really ask the why question much, and I didn't really get much into the anger thing. I'm sure that other family members dealt with that, and maybe, you know, maybe I have something still pent up that's still to be dealt with. But, you know, God gave me a sense pretty early on. You know, it was very grave in the beginning. Nobody knew, but I did know that God was there. He was present. There was a lot of, it was very amazing to see how many of her friends just showed up mm-hmm. at the hospital and just kind of, you know, a lot of them, I made it pretty clear that I really wasn't in a talking mood and, you
sure.
know, thank you for saying you're sorry and all that stuff, but it's kind of like, just sit here with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like a room of 15 kids there, and that's pretty amazing. You're just looking at it going, these guys have school or they're working or whatever, and they're coming over just to kind of hang out and show their support. So that was awesome. People from the church, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how that played into it, but for me, it was shocking. It was, you know, I can't tell you how shocked we all were.
Sure.
But then you start to get the reality of, okay, if this is it, then how are we going to celebrate her life? And if this isn't it, we have no idea what it's going to look like. And so you can either get angry and mad and stomp your feet, or you can mm-hmm. say, all right, God's in control of this.
Right.
And we may not like this ride we're on, but we're on it. And it's sometimes I'd even wake up the next day and think, okay, am I going to wake up and this was just a bad dream,
mm-hmm.
you know? But that never happened.
Right.
It was, I'd wake up the next day, we'd be at the same point, she might be worse or better, whatever. But there was a process that God was taking us all through, and I'm sure that that she would tell you the same thing, that God has worked mightily through this thing.
Mm-hmm. When you look back at family and maybe their reactions, and I mean, you know, you're a Christian, so they see how you accept things or deal with things. What would you say were some of the differences that you were able to feel having that relationship with Christ that maybe some other family members don't have?
Well, you know, each one of them kind of dealt with it differently. I have family members that are Christians and some that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for the ones that weren't Christians, they'd either detach themselves or, you know, just different defense mechanisms. You know, it was interesting to see each one kind of deal with it their own way.
Right.
A lot of them was, well, we'll have, you know, we'll have good thoughts and we'll keep hoping that things are going to get better. And you're going, well, we're right in the middle of this. And thoughts are, you know, that's great that you want to do that, but let's just pray.
Sure.
And so I'd spam text people, and I probably spam texted you a bunch of times too. I'd spam text
right.
people because that's what I could do from the hospital to say, pray. And here's specifically what to pray for. And that probably helped because I felt like, okay, God, I'm putting this in your hands, but I'm going to ask these people to pray and petition.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think when these things happened, we first have to look at, you know, what we can learn from it. And I think the first thing that we all have to learn very quickly is, like you said, God is in control of this. I was with a gentleman last week. If I said his name, every person in Denver would know his name. And a very, very rich man as far as wealth, all the different things, but suffers from MS and, you know, he's lost his legs. Mm-hmm. And it's something where you look at no matter where you work, who you know, how much money you got, you can't fix anything.
Yeah.
You just got to turn it all over to the Lord. And, you know, and in our mind, that's our child laying there. But when we really stop and think about it, it's his child.
Right.
You know, and then you have to get, and I remember, you know, the night that, you know, I first came up there with you and sat with you for a few minutes. I'll never forget. You said, Scott, you know, man, I'm just going to pray she gets better because I'm just not ready to give her up yet, and I'm just going to turn it over to the Lord. And that was pretty much your exact words. And, you know, when I look back at all the different things and everything, one, I heard a pastor preach recently on the verse, and we've all heard it, where all things work together for good.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what is that good?
Well, sometimes it doesn't look like good to us, right?
And I've never really thought about, you know, what is that good that verse is talking about? And what he brought out is, he said, that good is this, that God gets the glory.
Mm.
That's what that good is, because it's not something that, that is ever going to look good to you and I, like you just said, but it's that God gets the glory. And I remember, I think it was the first year anniversary thing, you had an event. And a bunch of the workers came, the EMT people, all these different things. And I think even from that event, you know, and again, a lot of different people there. It wasn't a church gathering by any means, but I think a lot of people that were there, you know, gave that display and feeling again that, boy, this is all to the glory of God that she's here and being able to get up on stage and talk and all that, you know. And I also remember, and I think this is important to touch on, and I think it was a few days later, if my memory serves me correctly, but the gentleman that was driving.
Mm-hmm. He showed up.
The bus.
Isn't that amazing?
They came up and showed. Talk about that moment.
Yeah. You know, he showed up twice. One time at the hospital, I wasn't there and missed him. But another time he showed up with his family at the hospital. And I wasn't expecting it, so I can't tell you I had any great speech or whatever. I thanked him for coming. And, you know, it was pretty uncomfortable for him because he's got to worry about liability stuff and whatever, which... there wasn't an issue there, but he showed up with his family as him, his wife, and I think a daughter, and they went in, wanted to see her. I don't know if she was conscious at the time or kind of just where she was at medically. I think it was still pretty rough sledding, but yeah, that guy came meant a lot. Mm-hmm. And I never have gotten a chance to speak to him since then, kind of tried to contact him a time or two and decided, yeah, maybe he wasn't, you know, that wasn't the wise thing, but sure. Yeah, it's pretty amazing that he'd show up. And so, you know, it was in the news. That was weird. As a family member, as a dad, you don't think one of your family members, your children or your wife, are going to be in the news. But sure. We kind of had to deal with that. And so he knew.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some of the caregivers and people that were there at the scene knew kind of what was going on.
Right.
So hopefully that encouraged them.
Sure.
You know, in some way that they saw and thought, all right, there's no way that most of those guys said they'd no way that they thought she would live. So you wonder how they processed that. And some of them might just process and say, well, that's great. What a great story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably a few that say, you know what? There's got to be a God because, man, that there's just no way.
No. I mean, when you think of the weight, the speed, all the different things of your fragile daughter, wow.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. Again, you're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Watley. My guest today is Mike Treem. Mike's our station manager here for 670 KLTT and not only a boss, but a friend. And again, I remember, I mean, I have a daughter, so I remember him getting that call that day and us all kind of living through this with him from just what we could do from afar. But something that, you know, another point, Mike, I want to bring out that maybe – you know, when tragedy happens, I think it shows this, again, like I said earlier, that we learn God's in control, but then we learn just how important our relationship is with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, there's nobody really that can fix this except him, if he wants to fix it, you know. And then you look at, okay, does God make these things happen or allow these things to happen, and for what reason? And I was talking with someone a few weeks ago talking about, he said, do you think it's okay to ask God why? And, you know, and I do. And I mean, I think you hear a lot, you read a lot in the Psalms where David will say, why this, why this?
Yeah, why am I afflicted? Why did this happen, you know?
And so, you know,
I think Jesus on the cross, at one point, didn't he say, Father, why does it have to come to this? And I think it was with the understanding he knew. He knew why he was there. He knew his purpose. He knew what needed to be accomplished. But, you know?
Yeah. and it's not really questioning God's wisdom, I guess I'll say. I think the question we need to ask is, you know, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? What are you trying to get me to learn through this? And again, going back to what I said earlier, how can we get him the glory through our, what we would term our own tragedy? And sometimes we never know why sometimes things happen. We will only know that, when we get to heaven exactly why. But it really makes you place your faith in a place that's free from tragedies. Because as a Christian, while we may term it here on earth as a tragedy, I mean, to God, it's just part of his plan. And so now we look at, you know, what can we do in tragedy? And, you know, and this is one part that just aggravates me. I just heard of a team, believe in Southeast Colorado somewhere, where coaches were going out after a game to pray, and now the school says they can't do that. You let some, we'll term tragedy again, happen in a school, a shooting, whatever happens, something bad happens, an explosion, whatever the case may be, and the first thing everybody says is, we just need to pray.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know how God just doesn't just slap us all, you know, right. Because, I mean, here we want to take him out of everything, and yet we say, oh, let's pray when something bad happens.
That's why we fight some of those battles, right?
Exactly.
You know, and why there is value in saying, no, that's not right. Yet we know it's a fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
We know, you know, I had all sorts of different reactions to deal with. And you know, hopefully God used that in some cases for someone to say, you know what, he's trusting in his God. Maybe this God is someone I need to get to know.
Right.
You know, and I didn't do that intentionally. It was just, you know, God had me in a point where I had no other, way to go than to let go.
Sure.
To basically say, okay, God, Laura's yours, and so it's up to you what you do. Whether she lives, she dies. Whether she lives and she can do X, Y, and Z, or she lives and she can't do anything, and we need to take care of her. We're going to honor what you decide to do. And you just had to get to that position and kind of go, all right, I'm surrendered, you know? And I know that sounds really simple, but that's kind of what we had to do. At least that's what I had to do. And others around me, they took their own path, you know, everything including getting mad at God. And thought, well, God, I'm not happy about this either. This pretty much stinks, you know? But I'm not going to sit there and get mad at you. Probably it's gone through my head a few times, but I haven't really felt like I dwelled on it at any point, because I thought, you know, you have a purpose in this. And part of that purpose could be Laura, who can now talk to people and say, hey, I know God's in this, you know, and I know that he saved me, and who knows where I was headed in my life, you know, but now he's got a different life for me.
Absolutely.
And so I'm going to walk in that.
Talk a minute what it was like to have your, I'll just call your church family around you, how that was a help to you, because, you know, we've all been in hospital visiting people and you know, unfortunately seeing people pass away or get bad news, and I don't know how people accept that without having a relationship with God, you know, because, I mean,
exactly.
Man, it's a bummer.
Exactly.
You know? And it's hard enough. You know, when you are a Christian, you are saved, and you know where you're going to go when you die. But, man, when that doctor looks at you and says, hey, the report says you got cancer
or right.
whatever,
right?
That's tough. And, you know, and I've had our pastor dealt with that. And, you know, praise the Lord, has come through it and all that. But we just had a friend in our church recently pass away from pancreatic cancer after about 9-10 months of it. So, you know, you get that. But talk a minute just about the importance of your church and what that has meant to you and the support they gave you through those tough months.
Well, from the church standpoint, you know, because a church is made up of people, including the pastors, you know, you're some churches, probably the pastor swoops in and is amazingly helpful and wonderful and really a big support with the person. And in other cases, it might more be the people in the church kind of just coming along with lots of little things. Mm-hmm. So in my case, the pastors were awesome. They were great, but there's only so much they could do. And they had, you know, there's 10 tragedies going on in any one church at one time. So they did what they could, but the cool stuff was people in the church that just did little things. And it was everything from helping to try to raise money for the medical bills, which just blew me away. That's just ridiculous. You know, when they do stuff like that, or somebody I know named Scott that helped, you know, get a hotel room for some people that had to come from out of town, you know, and that was a huge help because those little things mean everything. Mm-hmm. The meals really do mean something when they bring them over and you're just going, I don't want to even cook. In fact, I was spending so much time at the hospitals and therapy and, you know, in the early days, it was just at the hospital being there to see what was going on, talk to the doctors. You never know when a doctor's going to walk in the room. It could be 2 a.m. or, you know, 2 p.m. So those little things, people that would come and just sit with you and they could figure out, hey, he doesn't want to say anything or talk. He just wants me to sit with him and pray or be there or whatever.
Right.
Those things about a church body is kind of, you know, what the body of Christ can do, not only for other Christians, but also for people in the community that may not know Christ, but, you know, say a neighbor, something happens to a neighbor. You really say a lot, whether you take the time to acknowledge it and do something with or for them, even just the littlest things like go mow their lawn or, you know, take care of something that then they don't have to do it. So that kind of stuff really meant a lot to me. And it was as much the little things as it was the big stuff.
Right. And you bring up a good point there, because I think a lot of times, you know, we'll go up to people and say, hey, you know, if there's anything I can do, you know what, find something to do. Because your mind is so frazzled that you're going to say, okay, yeah, I'll give you a call. But you know, like you say, man, to go mow a lawn for somebody.
They did.
Yeah.
Or they rake my leaves. I'm going, oh my goodness, because this all happened in November. So these dudes show up and rake my leaves. And I'm just going, this is ridiculous. Right. Thank you.
Right. Now, let's give a report now on how Laura's doing. And we're coming up on the 4-year anniversary, right?
Yeah, been 4 years.
That's unbelievable.
So someone that had critical brain injuries, a stroke, swelling of the brain, I mean, just a whole list of things wrong, is now to the point where she has a job. She has a job working at a health club, helping out. And it's a great fit for her. She enjoys it. She loves people. Laura's very outgoing. She can speak very well. Some people, when they speak to her, would not even know that she got in an accident. Walking, there's still some challenges and things. She can walk, but you know, she had a bit of a kind of a stroke type thing that affected her left side. And so, you know, again, we're praying that that's going to someday, you know, be to the point where really people can't even notice that. Because if you're a girl, you don't want to limp, you know, but she just ignores it, says, whatever, who cares? But, you know, God's really restored a lot in her life. And the great thing is she doesn't dwell about on the things she can't do because there's still some challenges, driving, living independently, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But she's got a wonderfully sunny, positive attitude. And she does recognize that she, by a lot of people's account, she probably should have died. And she didn't. So God gave her an opportunity to talk about him, to talk about what he's done in her life, ironically, what he's done in people around her, in their lives too, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so she's, you know, sometime you should have her on the show.
No, I was just fixing to tell you, next time she's here, I would love
to get her on the phone. Yeah. We'll just get her on the phone and say, all right, you're a phone guest.
That would be great. Yeah.
Sure.
Now, last couple of minutes, how did it change your life?
You know, that's probably a work in progress, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is there was some wear and tear.
Sure.
I can't imagine. It's like, okay, let's see how much this shortens my life. But
yeah, because I mean, you live up north quite a ways.
Yeah. It was, you know, down to Craig Hospital but to work is a ways too. So whatever, but I think it just helped me understand that, you know, God is in control, but also his grace and mercy covers a lot. And it had to cover my life. It still does because, you know, of the stuff that I do as a human that is stupid sometimes. So I don't know that there's this big aha thing, but for me it was that knowing that there is that rest in Jesus, that there is that help and that grace and that mercy, and even when things don't look very good, that's you got to hold on to that. And so I don't know if that makes sense, but
no,
it's
absolutely.
Really it's that's kind of that part of that surrender thing a little bit, mm-hmm. to be honest.
No.
And that's the biggest thing he showed me and probably showed a lot of my family members.
Sure.
We're not in control, Scott. No. We're not. And that's okay. We try to control our lives. I'd love to have more control in a bunch of areas, but the reality is that Christ is in control. God's in control. And I have to be okay with that. And to try to do things on my own, that doesn't work so well. And it wouldn't have in this case if I had to try to force or make this thing into something I wanted to be. Well, that wasn't going to happen.
No, absolutely right. You know, it's something where we all go through. And if you haven't had anything tragic happen in your life, unfortunately, you probably will at some point. So, you know, I think it's easier for us to look at the situation and wonder, you know, how can God be letting this happen? Or we look at our own lives and wonder, you know, why would God put me through this? And as Mike talked about, you know, something you can learn from this is, you know, learning that God is in control. And learning then how important a relationship is with God. And to pray, and you know what, and the last part just real quick here in our last minute is, you know, I find in times of my biggest needs, I find if I can give something or help somebody else.
You're right.
That really.
You're right.
Is something that's good for me.
Yeah.
You know, just to try to do something for somebody else while I'm going through something.
Right. Kind of get you off your thing and yeah. thinking me or what happened, right?
Right. Absolutely. Well, Mike, thank you very much. Thank you for being a great boss.
Yeah.
And,
thanks, Scott. It's a blessing working with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us for Hunting the Way. Again, my name is Scott Whatley. And remember this, God's way is the best way. Thanks for joining us and have a great day.